The scripture reading today is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and he has been made known to us. He has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience joyfully, giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand for the gospel reading from John 15, verses 1 through 11. In this reading, Jesus is talking with his disciples. I am the true vine, and my Father is the wine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Please be seated. Let me show you a picture this morning. I took this photo a couple of months ago when I was waiting for my McDonald's mobile order in the car at one of those curbside pickup spots. If you are familiar with the Riverside neighborhood on Arlington between Jefferson Street and California / Street Avenue, Streeter Avenue, yes, a Popeye restaurant is located next to the McDonald's. So, while I was waiting at McDonald's, somehow the Popeye's restaurant's big sign caught my attention. I like Popeye's Cajun-style fried chickens and have always assumed that Their name is after the classic cartoon character Popeye the Sailor, if you can remember this guy. This guy. When I was growing up as a little kid in Korea, I really enjoyed watching Popeye cartoons. Popeye was so popular among so many children, even in Korea. And Popeye became my best model for my cartoon drawing practice. Yep, I could even draw Popeye with my eyes closed. So back to the curbside. Just for fun, I Googled the origin of the name Popeye's restaurant. Surprisingly, I was wrong. The restaurant chain's founder, Al Copeland, got the name Popeye from the 1971 movie, The French Connection. Its main character was Jim Popeye Doyle, played by Gene Hackman, who passed away in February this year. Anyhow, interestingly, it happened to be one of those days when a new pope, Leo XIV, was elected through the papal conclave. So, having heard that news, the sign Popeyes stood out to me as Pope, yes. I'm not sure this kind of a word might be an English term, a portmanteau, or a compound word, just a wordplay or something else. But it is interesting to discover these words depending on the context or situations. Let me share with you one of the well-known stories. There was a girl living with her grandfather. She was a good child, but her grandfather was not a very good man. And one day when she came back from school, he had put in writing over her bed, "God is nowhere," because he did not believe in God, and he tried to make the little girl not to believe in God either. What did the little girl do? She was very small, and she could only read words of one syllable at a time. She slowly started reading the sign, "God is now here." Yes, God is now here. It's the same word, but while Grandpa used the word as nowhere, his granddaughter was reading it differently as now here. You know, faith is believing in the invisible God. That's amazing, isn't it? Even though God cannot be seen, God is indeed everywhere. In your heart, among us, among the people, in the community. Yes, God is now and here. Jesus proclaims this point in the Gospel of John. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. In this sense, having faith in God is truly amazing. The author of the writer of the book of Hebrews defines faith. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So based on your faith in God, you can develop and sustain your spiritual life, including your prayer life. When you pray, who is listening to your prayer? Yes, God is. Even though God cannot be seen, God listens to you now and here, wherever you are. Peter also underlines in the first letter of Peter, although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. This morning, I'd like to share with you the fourth mark of a Methodist. It's a Methodist praise constantly as a part of five marks of a Methodist. So praying constantly is my sermon title this morning. Constantly means always. And this is also based on Apostle Paul's proclamation. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Here, according to the New Revised Standard Version updated edition, the phrase is pray without ceasing. And this is the same meaning as pray constantly. Therefore, I would like to share with you my three insights on praying constantly. Number one, prayer is more than your request or supplication. When you engage in praying, this means that basically you believe in God. And this is a good thing. However, some people consider God as some kind of a vending machine. Whenever they pray, they expect or even demand an answer to that prayer right away. You put a coin in and sort of pop is coming out, right? That kind of a expectation or a demand. And some people pray only whenever they are in deep trouble. They would never pray whenever everything is going well. But when they pray for a miracle. Moreover, some people pray only when they want and desire to possess or achieve something. There are so many people who pray, but many of them have false assumptions about prayer. Yet, okay, at least they believe in God. However, prayer is more than your request or supplication. There has been a well-known traditional acronym, PRAY, P-R-A-Y. And I think this acronym makes sense in describing what prayer is supposed to be. PRAY stands for praise, repent, ask, and yield. It's a structured approach to prayer that encourages individuals to focus on different aspects of their relationship with God during their prayer time. Praise. This involves acknowledging and appreciating God's attribute, character, and actions. Repent. This step focuses on acknowledging and confessing sins or shortcomings to God, seeking God's mercy and forgiveness. Ask. This is the portion where individuals present their requests, needs, and petitions to God. Yield. This element emphasizes surrendering one's will to God's will, seeking guidance and direction. So, prayer is more like a good and sustaining relationship with God, including all these four aspects, rather than merely asking for something or demanding anything out of one's selfishness or immaturity. Thus, in short, our genuine and heartfelt prayer always includes praise, repent, ask, and yield. Number two, prayer is your constant and faithful response to God's grace. Yes, prayer is a response to God's grace, according to many Christians, including many theologians, is a way of acknowledging God's presence, expressing gratitude, and seeking God's will. This morning's Colossians text, Apostle Paul opens his letter to the Colossians with a prayer of thanksgiving for their faith and love stemming from their hearing of the gospel. This passage highlights the power of the gospel to transform lives and the importance of a prayer for believers' spiritual maturity. Of course, pray without ceasing should not be taken literally, but the emphasis is on that we are called to be on constant prayer mode throughout the day and every day. Yes, whenever you pray constantly and intentionally, you can almost always focus on how much God loves you and how much you are blessed by God's grace. In the Colossians passage, Paul proclaims, "In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Therefore, as we are living out lives by the grace of God always, we must respond to God's grace with our sincere and fervent prayers. Number three, prayer is the way to sustain, strengthen, and flourish your relationship with God. Praying without ceasing refers to living a life that is constantly connected to God and informed by God, rather than just engaging in formal prayer sessions. So the prayer life is like the prayer of abiding in Christ, shown in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Jesus says in verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus is here emphasizing that how crucial and how precious for us to abide in him so that we can nurture, grow, and thrive through our spiritual life. Moreover, verse 7 seems to be very important. Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Yes, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This sounds truly awesome and fantastic, but it's not about any request. Here is the key condition that can never be missed or underemphasized. Jesus clearly indicates it first. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Moreover, Jesus strongly implies that while praying is crucial, having his words to abide in us is equally essential in our spiritual life in order to be fruitful. In this sense, our prayer life and Bible reading life go hand in hand. They are both important aspects of a healthy, sound, and fruitful Christian life. While prayer can be a powerful way to connect with God, the Bible offers a deeper understanding of his character, will, and plan for people and for you. Neglecting the Bible can leave one vulnerable to misinterpretations of God's word and hinder spiritual growth. This is important because prayer life is the way to sustain, strengthen, and flourish your relationship with God with the ever-present help from the Holy Spirit. In his book, Five Marks of a Methodist, The Fruit of a Living Faith, Stephen Harper writes, quote, John Wesley viewed prayer as a means of grace, saying that the chief of these means is prayer, whether in secret or with the great congregation, unquote. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we Methodist Christians are called to pray constantly, regardless our prayers' various and different settings, formats, length, occasions, traditions, places, or any other ways. We are called to practice our prayer life in our abiding relationship with God, with the foundation of faith in Christ Jesus, and with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Yes, our number four mark is a Methodist prays constantly. To be continued, and thanks be to God. Amen.